Today, our guest is Sergeant Ryan Palmer from the Boone Police Department. Good to have you back.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So, what's been happening for the PD? We blocked off a lot of roads from flooding on many occasions, and it's been a little busy. All kinds of things happening.
Yeah, we've seen the viaduct, the water. I've never personally seen it this high. A few of the other officers had, but we've seen a few cars floating in the viaduct, actually. Our officers have been out helping. One of our officers had to wade out in it with one of the deputies, so we've had a lot of water here.
And folks, it was just a wet time.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, too. You get those big downpours like that. A lot of people don't realize when it's running down the street, the intakes there are only so big.
Yeah, there's no way that it's not going to fill up. Even if things are 100%, that's just way too much water. It overloads everything. So people have to be cautious and gracious.
And had some of the street parking, again, so full that a lot of, and I know the community enforcement officer tries to get him to kind of, if you don't blow the grass in the street kind of thing, you know, but some of those intakes, they get a little clogged up. You got sticks, you got leaves, and, you know, go rake them out every once in a while, people. All you got to do is go out there and
help
that.
Our city out a little bit.
But again, we've had just an extraordinary amount of rain, so that's created some problems. But we are getting back to school. Let's go with that. I mean, you know, new teachers are starting basically today, and they'll be today and Friday, and then they go into next week and. That school's here before you know it.
Yeah, our teachers are out working hard already to gear up for this year, and we're thankful for all of them.
And I know that part of all of their training going back is we'll have Chase, our school resource officer, going to be in there meeting with a lot of them, and he's got different programs and stuff that he does. He teaches or at least gets them up to speed on things.
Yeah, and he's working on a ton of different programs to keep our kids safe, to help educate our kids, to help educate staff. So he's doing a lot of good things in the school working with the staff. So hopefully we'll get him in here sometime to talk about some of those different endeavors he's trying to tackle.
He is an Alice trainer, by the way. Folks.
He is, and he's working with them next week, I believe, to do an Alice training and a scenario-based style training.
So again, he'll get him up to speed. He's going to be busy with that, too. He's been busy this year. I mean, he was at the carnival.
Yes.
When the library had the carnival, he was out there meeting the kids again, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of them knew who he was, too. So let's talk a little bit about it. Some of the things that come up this time. There obviously are issues. I mean, I know the school does the best they can with running the buses and trying to keep those on set routes and stuff.
Yeah.
But we still have a lot of parents drop kids off. I always go back to, what was it, Mr. Mom? The Michael Keaton movie where you're in the wrong lane, when he first had to drop the kids off at school. We do have a lot of people actually kind of have a system.
Yeah.
And they're just pay attention.
Yeah. And each of our schools has a system for drop off, for pickup. So pay attention to those things. A lot of the things as parents we're trying to mitigate is our kids having to walk across the street. So if you can drop your kid off on the same side of the school so they don't have to run the risk of getting hit while they're crossing the street. Sometimes it's a simple thing we can do. Just go down the street, flip around and drop them off on the side that's safer for them.
Yeah. I know dropping off out at ledges, they kind of run traffic through and stuff. Again, parents, hopefully you're paying attention to what they're telling you, because they try to do it so that you can get them dropped off. They've got, I think, some of their staff out there will pick up at least the younger kids.
They have a lot of staff. A lot of the schools have it down to a really streamlined process. So just pay attention to what they're sending out in email and really try and follow them so they can get kids through quickly and safely.
Now, we do have a reason for no parking zones.
Yes.
It's don't park there.
Yes. And it's for the kids' safety. It's for everyone's safety. Kids are having to cross in certain areas. So we put no parking areas where we need them so that kids can be seen as they're trying to cross the street. So even if you're stopping for just a minute to drop something off, don't park in the no parking. It might hinder the visibility of somebody else trying to cross those streets.
And double parking. I know that I'm in a hurry. I need to get up here. And so Oh, they're coming. I know, but you got like two cars on the inside.
Just because you're going to be in the school for 30 seconds doesn't mean you stand out above anybody else. Park where we have to be parking to keep kids safe.
Okay. One of the things I've noticed, and part of it is due to the flashing red lights, people seem to be becoming a little more aware of pedestrian and pedestrian crossings, but they're still... You could have a wide open street, and if there's going to be a pedestrian crossing, if they're stepping out into the street, you should stop, even if you don't have a stop sign or anything.
Yeah, whether it's a child crossing for school, whether it's an adult crossing, wherever they are, give them the benefit of the doubt. Stop for them. Let them cross safely. Help them do that. If it's a child crossing, make sure you're looking both ways, left, right, left again, before you cross that street. Just to double check, make sure there's nobody driving by who's not paying attention.
Yeah, I know the one crossing guard we had is not there anymore. That was on Story.
Yes.
Basically,
yes.
Busy street, but traffic signals there too.
So. Yes, and it could be a good thing as a parent of three young kids myself. If my kids were walking to school, I would walk the route with them, teach them about how to cross streets safely, really practice with them to make sure I'm confident they can do it by themselves.
You got kids that are going to be riding bikes.
Yeah, bikes are... We see a lot of kids on bikes, especially going to the middle school.
Or electric scooters.
Yeah, the electric scooters too. Whatever they're riding, make sure they're wearing a helmet. A lot of kids don't like to wear helmets, but it is a need. It does protect them if they fall. We see a lot of crashes every year. They need helmets on, so make sure they have a good helmet. Make sure, again, when they're crossing streets, it's often safer if they get off of those different items that they're riding and cross. It helps them be more aware of what's going on. So have them get off, practice safe riding with them, things like that.
One of the things we talked about earlier this year is riding scooters, bikes, and stuff on the sidewalks downtown. Again,
yes.
Generally, you're not supposed to be on the sidewalk, but when you get in some of the residential neighborhoods, it might be a little safer because of the speed of some of the traffic.
Yeah, it could be. And one of the things when I see people on scooters driving on the residential streets, a lot of them aren't paying attention to the cars that are parked on the side of the road. If we have a person who's parked on the side of the road and who is starting his or her car, and getting ready to pull away from the curb, those scooter operators, those drivers in the cars don't necessarily see all of the worries there. So they don't see each other. So that's where what you're saying, riding on the sidewalks in the residential area, could be a little bit safer for bike riders, for scooter riders, things like that. But downtown, yes, it's against city code to be riding on the sidewalks. And that's the safety of people going in and out of the stores.
You get a lot of bicycle pedestrian ones. We've had a couple where some of the kids on the scooters have been out on the street and have not been wearing helmets and that sort of thing. And we've had a couple of accidents.
We've had bad accidents. It can be a scary and dangerous thing when kids crash on scooters and bikes. So please, parents, grandparents, make sure they're getting the helmets that they need. They're expensive, but it's a fraction of the price of having to go to the hospital for a head injury.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get a grant and do another helmet distribution thing, too. And they age out. People forget.
Helmets, they expire.
Helmets expire, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like for the fire department, smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. They have a lifespan.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
So you might, if it's been a while, you might want to check fit, things like that, too. So
yep.
Kids' heads grow. A couple of other things that come up, again, this time of year, just safety's sake for young people. Parents, remember, hopefully they were not spending too much time on screens during the summertime and were out being active and stuff. Had a lot of people at the pool, I know that. So, But online and social media safety, and this could be even getting into middle school and even high school.
Absolutely. And we had Detective Mays in here a couple months ago talking about online threats and different things like that. But online stuff is so important for our parents and grandparents and guardians to be paying attention to with your children. Children have so much access to online platforms, social media stuff, just in their pocket every single day. And a lot of those things are very harmful to our kids. So we really, as parents, we need to be cautious of what they're accessing on their phones, the social media accounts, the pictures they're posting. Once a child or anyone posts something online, it never goes away.
Yeah.
People have access to that forever. And that's something children don't understand. Some parents don't understand it either themselves, but hopefully they have a little bit better ability to understand that. So educating your children that once you post something, it never goes away, and monitoring what they're posting is so important.
I was going to say, one of the more recent cases that has come up, pending litigation, if you will, from the family in West Des Moines against one of the apps that I had never heard of before, but kids heard of it.
Sure.
And that's the one where it was for a kidnapping. It led to kidnapping and trafficking. So, yeah. Again, just if you're not paying attention, you're probably falling behind.
You are, absolutely. And if we had our school resource officer in here, he could speak to the amount of cases he does every year that surrounds social media and the different issues that arise through that in the school. So, I mean, we have to be working hard as parents to really keep tabs on what our children are accessing on their phones and computers.
And what they're saying about others. The bullying part is also big. Stranger awareness, it doesn't go away.
It doesn't.
We thought 20 years ago, we were talking stranger awareness. We're still talking stranger awareness.
And we get a handful of calls every year where parents will call in and they'll say, hey, my son or daughter was walking home from school. Somebody tried to talk to them. We look in the best that we can. We look into every one of those. And typically those turn out to be really non-threatening encounters. The person was just looking for something or a vast array of different reasons. But it's always good to encourage your child if they're walking home. Encourage them to be aware of what's going on around them. Encourage them to be aware of if somebody stops to try and talk to them, to walk away from them, to tell them whatever you as a parent want that child to tell that person. But then that child needs to know it is safe to come and either call law enforcement, it's safe to go to the police department, it's safe to tell you as a parent, hey, this person tried to talk to me today. And then report that to us. Give us some details and we'll look into it.
And yeah, because if you don't know, if somebody doesn't tell you, it's not like we can find them all.
Yeah, and we'd rather look into it ahead of time and have it be nothing than let something go on and have there be an issue there.
Good idea if you got four or five kids out of neighborhood, and I know buses come in different times and things like that, but if they could walk together.
Yeah, have them walk together. Have your house be a spot where all those kids can meet and then send them off to school together. It's safer that way.
All right. Well, we do have another big event coming up.
Oh, boy, Supernationals.
I think you've been planning a little on this. Yeah. No, we don't have the Farm Progress Show with it, but we got all our fireworks complaints out of the way.
So, hopefully.
Anyway, that was quite the event. But Supernationals, and already looks like we're talking a record number of cars coming this year. So it's going to be a busy time, and I'm thinking traffic congestion on the south side is going to be...
It will be different this year.
Because this will be the first year now that the median's out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But it'll be good. We'll make our way through it. As long as people have patience and some more patience, we'll make our way through it.
It's all about patience, and we'll get through this too. We do get a lot of traffic down on the south side of town from this back and forth. What are some of the highlights, again, that you really think people need to pay attention to?
Yeah.
If you could avoid the area going out of town, maybe.
Yeah, if you actually could avoid the area, that would be helpful. If you're leaving in the mornings to go to different Ames or Des Moines or west of Boone, somewhere to go to work, if you're somebody who takes South Story Street, stops at the four-way stop and goes either direction, you're probably going to want to try and avoid that. There is going to be more traffic, and some of that traffic's not just going to be cars. It's going to be those large haulers hauling race equipment, and those takes longer to get across the intersection. So if you're going to choose to go down that way, you have to expect it's going to take more time, but just try and avoid that way. South Lynn and Highway 30 is closed. Be cautious down there because we're going to have a lot of people who have never traversed that intersection before coming into town. No doubt there's going to be large haulers turning into town at South Lynn Street. We're trying to work with the racetrack to make sure that doesn't happen, but it will happen. So giving those big haulers space and being courteous of them as they're trying to figure out where they're going is going to be important as well.
Yeah, they can't all pull up to the corner. Well, even when they could, they were still having to go around. Some of them, they couldn't make the swing around through the median and stuff.
Yeah.
But it is definitely going to be a... a unique experience.
Yeah, and we are working with the DOT right now. I've had a conversation with them. They're going to have a bunch, some added signage up there, put some more stuff in the median. So we're all working together to try and make this as flawless as possible. Yeah. But you do have to expect there's going to be delays.
Well, we do know a lot of people, literally the population of town will double because of just the campers that are going to be located out there. There's some that are out there for the whole week. Some will be out there for probably a week and a half, actually, because they'll the final race in August, they'll be doing that and then moving right into Super Nationals.
Yeah.
So, and the in and out all the time. There's traffic in and out all the time.
Yep.
But a lot of times now, people will be crossing to get Casey's is on the south side.
Yeah, Casey's and Walmart, and there's some convenience stuff that people are walking across. We don't allow the four-wheelers to cross 30 anymore. Well, we never have, but people do a much better job of just walking. So we have to be very cautious of them as we're driving cars on Highway 30. Be cautious of these people walking across. They walk across in the mornings, the afternoons, after dark.
So just after dark
down.
Is a scary one.
It is very scary. You can't hardly see them, so just make sure you're slowing down.
The other thing you mentioned, the four-wheelers, the UTVs, again, during the year, permitted, except in a couple of instances. I don't think they're really permitted on South Story.
Sure,
Really, you go into a week's prohibition.
You're going to drag us into some hate mail here.
Well, I know.
Last year, we took a lot of flack for this, but it is a city code. It is for safety. City townspeople in the city of Boone, you cannot operate an ATV or a UTV on city streets during the week of Super Nationals, and that's for the safety of everybody. We were getting people from the racetrack who were driving their ATVs into town, and it was creating some accidents, creating some issues that didn't need to happen. So we just decided, our city officials decided that it's safer for everybody if we do not operate them on city streets during the week of Super Nationals.
And this is been a number of years it's been there.
Yes, a large number of years,
So nothing new with that one. And again, that's just the big thing is just it's just done for that week.
Yeah, and if you have questions about it, feel free to reach out to us. We'd much rather have a conversation with you than seeing a bunch of rash comments somewhere. But reach out to us. We'll sit down and explain it to you and really try and work with you.
And I think on the probably, I don't know if some of it, I'd guess, would be for the Boone PD, but the balance might be for the Sheriff's Department. Parking along the county road that goes south.
Yes.
Once you get down past Midland, I think you're out of the city limits.
Yes. Yep.
And there's parking on only one side.
Yeah. Past Midland, I don't know. I don't recall what the parking is, but there's no parking signs. If you're in city limits, so north of Midland and along Highway 30, there's no parking signs there between the hard road and between the no parking sign, which is just a little bit down into the ditch. You can't park cars on the gravel. You can't park cars just barely into the ditch. That hinders the visibility of people walking around down there. Your car will probably get towed down in the park and ride between Highway 30 and the park and ride. You can't park in the ditch there. You'll probably receive a parking ticket. And again, that's just for visibility.
Yeah. And I think the county just extended it all the way out because it just was, it got a little bit crowded.
Well, it's hard when people are walking to and from their car, especially after dark.
Well, again, that's one of the things we do. It's going to be that time of the year again.
Yeah.
Yes, I know they're going to be racing, but big thing you say, patience, right?
Patience. And it's an exciting time. Yeah, there's a lot of people in town. There's a lot of different things that we don't usually have to deal with throughout the year. Some view that as annoyances, but it's a good thing. Having all these people in, welcoming them in here, it's a good time of the year. Just be patient. Law enforcement is out extra. We're doing extra patrols, extra traffic enforcement. We're using our unmanned aircraft to really try and monitor things. So we're working hard to keep everybody safe, regulating different things. And keeping tabs on things. So like you said, if you just have some extra patience, it's a good time of year. Welcome these people in, and it's only a week. Just try to do your best to enjoy the week.
And we're going to throw in one final little thing that'll be just creating a little more havoc for everybody. But RVTV will be here on the 4th of September. And so we moved our nights on the green to Thursday night. They're going to be here. There's going to be a lot of people in town for that. And some from the racetrack. Well, depends what kind of fan you are, if you're a Cyclone or a Hawkeye fan. So, again, that's going to be another big one. again, we'll have some street closures associated with that. A little patience, work your way around there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's not get any big rainfalls.
There we go.
Ryan Palmer, Sergeant, Boone Police Department, our guest on our program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.